Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
Well, Egypt has jumped into a growing war against the Islamic State group of Sunni rebels. After ISIS killed 21 Egyptians in Libya over the weekend, the government of Abdel Fattah al-Sisi rained down airstrikes aimed at what they say is an ISIS stronghold in Derna, Libya. Groups on the ground released a statement saying they, quote, woke up to a disaster today as Egyptian military jets targeted civilians in residential areas in the city. But Egypt's military justified the action, retorting, quote, avenging Egyptian blood and punishing criminals and murderers is our right and duty. Meanwhile, reports emerged over the weekend that the U.S. State Department was stepping up its efforts at disrupting ISIS propaganda and recruitment efforts online using a strategy of, quote, counter-messaging. And a new CNN poll has found that 57% of Americans disapprove of President Obama's handling of the threat posed by ISIS. That's an 8% increase in disapproval from last September. Well, Bob, how significant is Egypt's role in the war? And are we seeing yet another situation develop where dictatorial regimes in the Middle East are able to destroy the public from their own failings by going after Muslim fundamentalist groups?
Right. When there are these kinds of extremist threats, it's easy for other actors who may have their own human rights violations and problems to look somehow good by comparison. And that's always a problem. We see the approval rate dropping, but my fear is it's dropping for the wrong reason. What the Obama administration should do is, of course, what the United States should have always done in the Middle East, which is be upfront about the mistakes made in the past and try to align itself with truly democratic and humanitarian forces. Instead, the United States continues to try to play this chessboard game where it feels it can align the pieces in the right order. So if Egypt goes back to a dictatorship, that's okay. That's actually maybe good. But that's not going to be the long-term solution.
And here in the United States, a federal judge in Texas may have just handed Republicans a victory on the immigration front. Judge Andrew Hanen ruled late yesterday that President Obama's executive action on immigration announced last year should be put on hold, allowing a lawsuit launched by 26 states to go forward. The executive action could enable as many as 5 million undocumented immigrants to remain in the U.S. with temporary legal status. The district judge justified his action, saying that once people were given such a status, it would be a, quote, virtually irreversible action. The Obama administration has vowed to appeal the decision and released a statement this morning saying, quote, the district court's decision wrongly prevents these lawful common sense policies from taking effect. Bob, isn't there precedence from the likes of former Republican presidents like Reagan for Obama to issue executive actions like this? And after all, it's an extremely modest proposal to begin with. It's not even as sweeping as Reagan's was, right?
Well, first of all, you misidentified Reagan as president. He's Saint Reagan, as you know, and all activities by Ronald Reagan have been deemed saintly. So, of course, that's not relevant history. You're absolutely right. You know, it won't surprise you that if you put immigration politics, the Texas Attorney General and a very conservative district court judge in Texas together, you're going to get crazy. And this is just plain crazy. This is a really extreme intervention into federal supremacy and immigration law. As you point out, the actions Obama took are well within the scope of executive actions of past presidents, including Republicans. This is a district court judge appointed by George W. Bush, who's got very right-wing policies on immigration. And it's in support of an untenable legal principle. It's just it's going to get resolved at the appellate court, but it's just going to drag out the process, unfortunately.
And finally, an economist at Johns Hopkins University has found that two decades of welfare reform policies in the U.S. have resulted in the neediest Americans losing benefits, while slightly better off folks received more federal aid. Professor Robert A. Moffitt studied families on government assistance from the years 1983 to 2004. And according to the New York Times, quote, generally unemployed single mothers with children saw their benefits falling by a whopping one-third. Meanwhile, according to Moffitt, quote, there's been this emphasis on rewarding workers and people like the elderly or disabled who are considered the, quote, deserving poor. In recent years, states around the country have also been increasingly adopting drug testing requirements for the poorest welfare applicants. Even President Obama's policies to increase aid focuses on working families rather than the poorest single mothers. Well, Bob, do you see this trend as the direct result of our ongoing criminalization and demonization of poor single mothers, starting, again, going back to Reagan and then continuing full force with President Clinton?
I'm glad you put Clinton in the mix here, because in some ways he's most responsible for this, because when a Democratic president allies himself with the right-wing principles. It sets them into stone even more deeply. You know, this is a surprising trend in what we call a Christian country, which is supposed to have Christian values. But it's not unique to this particular situation. Look at farm policy, which has consistently destroyed small family farms and helped out larger corporate farms. This is the way government policy has been going. It's to direct public funds to the already wealthy. And in this case, we're just going down a level. But it's really shocking because it ignores the fact that people are caught up in a web of circumstances. This isn't purely about individual choice, obviously. It's about the nature of the society we've built. So it's not only refuting our basic values that we claim to hold, it's also ignoring basic politics and sociology about the nature of the systems we live in. It's a really appalling trend, and the fact that Democrats are as willing to participate in it as Republicans simply tells you how far to the right politics in this country has moved over the last four decades.
Robert Jensen, always a pleasure to have you on, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Anneli.
Robert Jensen is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. We'll be right back.